Random House Audio presents Heads in Beds, a reckless memoir of hotels, hustles, and so-called hospitality by Jacob Tomsky. This is Jacob Tomsky. Author's note. To protect the guilty and the innocent alike, I have deconstructed all hotels and rebuilt them into personal properties, changed all names, and shredded all personalities and reattached them to shreds from other personalities, creating an audiobook of amalgams that, working together, establish, essentially, a world of truth. I mean, damn, I even changed my own name. Introduction. Welcome to the front desk. Checking in? I've worked in hotels for more than a decade. I've checked you in, checked you out, oriented you to the property, served you a beverage, separated your white panties from the white bedsheets, parked your car, tasted your room service, before and sadly after, cleaned your toilet, denied you a late checkout, given you a wake-up call, eaten M&Ms out of your minibar, laughed at your jokes, and taken your money. I have been on the front lines, and by that I mean the front desk, of upscale hotels for years, and I've seen it all firsthand. How does one fall into the pit of hospitality? How is it that nearly every dollar I've ever earned came from a paycheck with the name of a hotel written on it somewhere, or of course in the form of cash from the hand of a generous hotel guest? Call it an accident, like catching a train with the plan to go across town, but as the platforms smear by one after the other, you come to realize you've broken city limits, the train is not stopping, and you're just going to have to ride this life until the doors open, or until the conductor stops the train and throws you out on your ass. After a certain amount of years in the hotel business, and I'll go ahead and mention this up front, you're just too useless and used up to do anything else. I grew up military, Navy mother, Marine father. When I was a child, it was 2 years maximum in any given city, and then we'd be on the move again, changing schools, checking into a hotel in L.A., a hotel in Jacksonville, a hotel in Asheville, a hotel in San Pedro, looking for a new permanent residence. I grew up like a spun top, and, released into adulthood, I continued spinning, moving, relocating. Those 2 year episodes of my childhood left me feeling rootless, lost in the world. Perhaps that's why I stubbornly pursued a degree in philosophy. I cannot explain the idiocy behind my choice of major. Shit, if I had chosen business, I might be in business right now. Perhaps you'd think one main goal within the philosophy degree itself would be the ability to argue unequivocally why a philosophy degree is not a complete waste of time. I never learned that argument. Garbage. My degree was garbage stuffed inside a trash can of student loans. So someone, some asshole, suggested I earn some money in hospitality. Hotels were willing to ignore my dubious degree and offer great starting pay. And I will say this, it's an ideal career for the traveler. I love travel in every way. New people, new sounds, new environments, the ability to pick up and disappear. My top is, even now, spinning, and though it's digging a nice divot into Brooklyn, the balance is beginning to lean, and once that tip finds traction, it's going to rocket me off the continent. Plus, hotels are everywhere. Kidnap me, duct tape my face, drop me out of a plane, and I promise you I will land in a parking lot adjacent to a hotel, and in less than a day, I'll be wearing a suit, assisting guests, earning a nice check, and making friends at the local bar. Hotels are methadone clinics for the travel addicted. Maybe the only way I can even keep a home is to hold down a job surrounded by constant change. If I'm addicted to relocating, then how about I rest a minute, in a lobby echoing with eternal hellos and goodbyes, and let the world move around me? And that is exactly what I did. From New Orleans to New York, I played by hotel rules, and in the process, learned every aspect of the industry. Due to the fact I just don't care anymore, here is one of my objectives. I will offer easy and, up till now, never publicized tips and tricks. Want a late checkout? Want an upgrade? Guess what? There are simple ways, and most of them are legal ways, to get what you need from a hotel without any hassle whatsoever. It's all in the details, in what you need done, whom you ask to do it, how you ask them, and how much you should tip them for doing it. Need to cancel the day of arrival with no penalty? No problem. Maybe you just want to be treated with care and respect. I understand, dear guest. Come on now. Calm down, you fragile thing. Take my hand. Good. Okay, now put some money in it. Very good. Thank you. Now that's a proper hospitality business transaction. And when all is said and done, you will understand the hotel life, what we do and how we do it, though why we continue to do it may be harder to grasp. All of this will be beneficial to you, because the next time you check in with me, and believe me, I get around, I've probably checked you in a couple of times already. The next time we meet, a comforting, bright light of total understanding will be shining in your eyes, and I will help you, and you will help me. And listening to this audiobook will give you the knowledge you need to get the very best service from any hotel or property, from any business that makes its money from putting heads in beds. Or, at the very least, it will keep me from taking your luggage into the camera-free back office and stomping the shit out of it. As a hotelier, I am everywhere. I am nowhere. I am nameless, except for the goddamn name tag. But first, let's talk about names. Let's talk about changing the names to protect the innocent. Let's talk about how innocent I am and how much I need protecting. My name is Jacob Tomsky, but in the hotel world, we are all registered with our last name first. Jacob Tomsky becomes Tomsky Jacob. So, in the spirit of self-preservation, Tomsky Jacob, for the purposes of this audiobook, becomes Thomas Jacobs. Good luck, little Tommy Jacobs. Chapter 1. I am standing on St. Charles Avenue, uptown New Orleans, a few months out of college and a few weeks into summer. It's already extremely hot in the full sun, which is where I have to stand, in the sun, next to the valet box, all day. I took a valet parking job at Copeland's restaurant to shake off my college loan laziness, to climb out of the educational womb and stand on my own 2 feet as a money-making, career-pursuing adult. Educated in the useless and inapplicable field of philosophy, I quickly deduced that my degree looked slightly comical on my already light-on-the-work experience resume. Perhaps it was even off-putting. To a certain eye, hell, it probably made me look like a prick. But I had to start somewhere, so I started at the bottom. This job is not good enough. Why not? First of all, I'm parking cars. Second, we have to turn in all of our tips. I imagined I'd get off the first night with a pocketful of ones to take to the French Quarter, not that you need much money in New Orleans. As it turned out, however, attached to the valet box that houses the car keys, like a wooden tumor, is a separate slot for us to jimmy in our folded tips. All of them. Attached to that box, like a human tumor, is the shift boss, back in the shade at a vacant umbrella table, sipping a noontime drink that most definitely contains alcohol. It also has chipped ice and is sweating in his hand, sweating in a much different way than I am sweating. A lunch customer hands me his ticket. I find his keys easily in the box and take off at an impressive run. His car is not easy to find. The valet company has not rented a nearby lot to service the restaurant. And so we, certainly unbeknownst to the clients, just drive around the area and try to parallel park the vehicles as close to Copeland's as possible. Once the vehicle has been parked, it's up to the valet to draw a silly treasure map on the back of the ticket so another valet can locate it. My coworker Chip draws every treasure map like a hashtag with a star in the corner. Every single one. And finding the car is never easy. But I bring it back and slide up to the curb, holding the door open, the car's AC pouring like ice water on my feet, and receive a neatly folded bill from the customer. It's damn hot out here, son. This is for you running like that. It's a $20 bill. Chip, now back and posted by the valet box, holds a salute against his brow, trying like hell to make out the bill. I walk up to the tip tumor and start to wiggle it in when Chip says, "No, no! What are you doing, Tommy? Don't you keep a dollar handy to swap it out with? Please, don't put that 20 in there. Please, it's for you. That dude told you it was for you. Actually, it's for Copeland's Valet Parking Corporation."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?